morning and welcome. Thursday morning, the Evan Bray Show. It's great to have you here on what's the promise of another nice day. The snow melt in that southeast part of the province continues, and we should see some nice days over the next two or three into the weekend. But later in the weekend, maybe see some rain in parts of the province. Lots of things being talked about at the water cooler this morning. Both Canadian teams came up short in the NHL. Caps beat the Habs last night 3-1. And that Oilers game, ugh. Aside from the harmonicas and the national anthem, the discussion is really around, can the Oilers turn it around when they head back home? Lost both games in L.A. to the Kings. Last night, 6-2 was the final. And that, the other thing people are talking about today, Pierre Poilievre making a stop in Saskatchewan. He's in Saskatoon tonight. The Biz Hub Industrial Park rally happens this evening, and then a media conference tomorrow morning before flying out to his next stop. So we saw NDP leader and Liberal leaders in the province earlier in the month. This, the first and only stop, it appears, for Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives. Speaking of the election, lots to talk about on that front today. In fact, our federal election panel is happening today. This is our last panel discussion before Monday's election. We will have the panel back together the day after the election, so a little bit of a recap there. But every week during this election campaign, we've brought together a few political minds from the province for a great discussion. Doug Richardson, Kathy Sproul, and John Gormley. They've been here four times now. Now, this morning, we're not going to have John. John has had a scheduling conflict come up, so with no John Gormley, we are bringing in to pinch hit former Saskatchewan Justice Minister and Attorney General Bronwyn Eyre. She'll sit in for John this morning, that discussion coming up after 9 o'clock. Premier Mo shared a video yesterday with an endorsement for Pierre Poilievre. Put your hand up if you're surprised. No, I don't think it comes as a surprise. I mean, Pierre Poilievre spoke to the SAS Party convention a couple of years ago. The premier voicing his opinion that we need a federal government that will treat the West like we're part of the country. Many people agree with that, but some wonder, strategically, is this the right move? If, for example, the Liberals will win, does it set us back? Or are we set back as far as we could be? We're going to open up the phone lines, and we will have that conversation with you later this morning. Also today, meeting a crime fighter who isn't a police officer, but has put together a group of people focused on eradicating human trafficking, doing some great work through techniques using AI. I look forward to the chat with Noel Thomas, founder of Dark Watch, coming up later this morning. All right, let's get into today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, what's going to happen is, of course, the election takes place on Monday. And then once the election's over, the work has to start. And there's a variety of different things that we will be talking about. One of the things that has come up and has been a big topic of conversation is enhancing the ability to do interprovincial trade, trade from one province to another and across Canada. In Canada is something that I know it's been worked on for a while, but I think it's been top of mind predominantly over the last number of months. How and what are we trading within Canada? What goods can we share? What deals can we strike rather than relying on business with outside countries? Recently, there was a StatsCan report that came out on interprovincial trade, a bit of a roadmap on where some of the challenges lie. There were some challenges and opportunities for our province in there. And here to break that apart a little bit, and I think talk just in general about interprovincial trade, is Gil Land. Gil is an associate professor in law and business department at the Toronto Metropolitan University's Ted Rogers School of Management. And Gil joins me by phone from his office this morning. Gil, thanks so much for taking our call.
Thank you, Evan. Great to be here.
So when we think about and talk about interprovincial trade, I mean, it's become a pretty important part of the overall conversation we're having right now on trade, generally speaking. Some of these StatsCan numbers don't paint the best pictures. Can you just talk a little bit about this report in general?
Well, I mean, the report seems to indicate a general decrease in interprovincial trade, and it's not clear what's driving that. I think it's really important that we look into this. But in any event, the movement towards reducing interprovincial trade barriers is something that was long coming. And now is the time to address it, now that there's enough political will behind it.
It's, you know, of course, when a report like this comes out, I always quickly comb through it and look for the word Saskatchewan, because we're curious to know how Saskatchewan fared. Maybe not great when you look at the largest declines in interprovincial manufacturing sales. Saskatchewan was in, I would say, the top three, and I don't use top three as a positive thing.
So I think one of the things to look at, I mean, one of the factors to look at when we're looking at interprovincial trade is, I think it's an important part of Canada's strategy dealing with these U.S. Trade tariffs, but it's only a part of it. So two important factors to note, even though I've seen estimates that say reducing these barriers could be anything from 1 to 8% GDP boost for Canada, two important things, scale and distance. Shipping something from, let's say, BC to Saskatchewan is a long distance. Even if all interprovincial trade barriers were dropped, there's transportation costs. The other thing is scale. I think Ontario is the largest province with 16 million people. I think Saskatchewan, Manitoba, they're in the 1.3, 1.5 million. So when manufacturers are trying to decide where to turn, there is they have to factor in the cost of transportation. Even in a frictionless world with no interprovincial trade barriers or regulations, and the market that they're getting. So the smaller markets may end up dropping off the table, regardless of interprovincial trade barriers, depending upon economic circumstances. Put in perspective, if you're going to ship something across Canada, if you go to the EU, which is, you know, once you're talking these types of distances, to the EU, it's like 450 million people. Germany alone is like 84 million.
Yeah. 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 The population, the geography that we deal with, no doubt plays into this. Gil Lan is my guest, associate professor in law and business department at the Toronto Metropolitan University's Ted Rogers School of Management. You know, because of the discussion that we've been having lately since tariffs have come into the conversation, interprovincial trade barriers has been hoisted up. I see this as nothing but positive. Are you seeing positive momentum in Canada in trying to reduce these barriers and explore opportunities within the country?
Definitely. This all started quite some time ago. So in 1995, we actually had an agreement, the Agreement on Internal Trade. Then in 2017, we had a broader one, the Canadian Free Trade Agreement. The only issue with that was basically there were so many provincial exceptions. So we had this deal where we would try to reduce these internal trade barriers, but then there's a lot of exceptions for different provinces. But what you're seeing now is a lot of provinces negotiating with each other, including Saskatchewan, I believe. Ontario now has proposed legislation to eliminate all of the provincial exceptions that it had in the Canadian Free Trade Agreement. So there's definitely momentum here.
Can you give us an example or just an understanding of why those provincial exemptions existed and what it might mean if we see those fall off the table?
So quite a few of them, the ones that have had the greatest spotlight are trucking regulations, where basically during transportation, a commercial vehicle maybe needs a second inspection just because it crossed a provincial barrier. There may be different standards about which trucks are allowed on roads during which times. And then there's different packaging and labeling requirements are going across the board, as well as provincial licensing requirements. So, for example, a nurse that's registered and licensed in one province may not be able to practice in another province. So the proposals that are coming up is to reduce or eliminate these barriers, and that can drop significantly the cost of doing business and the ability for different professionals to move across borders.
And, you know, I'm curious, the Ontario plan that you referenced, Gil, is that a blueprint that could help other provinces? And is that something that we maybe see informing campaigns that are happening in the federal election right now?
I think you'll see it in the campaigns in the federal elections, but I think it's actually also a very difficult topic for a federal election because, you know, when you're reducing these barriers, there are industries that may be negatively impacted. So, for example, reducing the barriers to alcohol sales. is that going to be good or bad for local alcohol industry? That's all going to depend whether or not they can export more than in terms of the imports that are coming in to compete with them. So it may be a touchy topic because there could be different degrees of benefit for different provinces.
Mm-hmm. Gil Lann is my guest. You know, when we think about what federal government could do, regardless of political stripe, one thing is help build infrastructure that enhances interprovincial trade. You know, the pipeline, I think, is probably a big one that comes up, but rail, electricity, there's a variety of things that we could bring into this conversation. That in itself would drive investment in Canada. So maybe is that the angle that the federal government should be looking at on this topic?
I think in general terms, federal government would look at that. In terms of an election, there is one very important issue that needs to be dealt with, which is how do we do it and who pays for it? And again, that could be a very sensitive topic. But infrastructure definitely is the long-term goal. I think retaliatory tariffs and lowering interprovincial trade barriers is the low-hanging fruit, which the federal government is and provincial governments are quite rightly so going for at this time. But building up our infrastructure and our ability to compete at an international level definitely is the long-term goal.
Right. Gil, before I let you go, I'm maybe asking you to bring out your crystal ball on this one. But when the dust settles from the federal election let's say we get the agreement with the United States on the updated CUSMA and the tariff talk settles, do we now have positive momentum that will forever take interprovincial trade up to the next level? Or is there the fear that when the dust settles, this too could subside and we slide back to where we've been?
That is one of my fears. My fears is basically, I think it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So, for example, the United States had put all these tariffs and then is expecting negotiations. So all these countries will come in, try to cut a deal with the United States, and then they'll have some tariff relief. But they're given the approach of the United States so far with respect to its trade agreements, it's not clear whether it will honor whatever agreement that it comes to with Canada or any other country regarding tariff relief. So you could very well see us sign CUSMA, as we did more approximately 5 years ago, and then have it disregarded. So I think the important point for Canadians to remember is it is a marathon, regardless of where we get to with the United States in terms of the tariffs, in terms of future prospect, it's going to be very, very important to diversify and build our independence. I think any agreement right now with the current administration is transitory at best, not something that you could bet the farm on, literally.
Gil, this has been a really good chat. I appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Gil Lann, Associate Professor in the Law and Business Department at Toronto Metropolitan University's Ted Rogers School of Management. Interprovincial trade barriers. As you heard Gil say, the hope is that through this discussion, through elections, through provincial mandates and platforms, we move the needle in a way that it doesn't slide back. We enhance that ability, which positively will affect GDP in our country for interprovincial trade in Canada. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.